The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back, final hour on this Monday night. And it's always great to talk to Cecil Hurd as the Iron Bowl is upon us. Alabama having a pretty amazing season so far, in case you have been off on another planet. From the Tuscaloosa News, the headlines: Tide starts off sluggishly, then starts slugging in KO of UK. Cecil, it's great to have you on, and it feels like Alabama football is back to that familiar place when an eight touchdown win just doesn't feel very good.
People griping about the defense.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, you've covered this team for a considerably long time, but I'm really curious your thoughts of this team as we get ready for the weirdest Iron Bowl week ever.
I think they're playing well. There's probably a little bit of question on the defense as to whether the defense has gotten a lot better or the offenses that they have played have gotten worse. I would say that they'll see a quarterback in Bo Nix, who's probably better than the last four that they've seen: Stetson Bennett, Garantano, Will Rogers, and Terry Wilson. So I would say that Bo's probably a level up from that, and makes Alabama and Auburn interesting. Could be a really high-scoring game. Auburn's offense is second in the SEC in scoring, so could be. I don't know that it'll go to the 55-44 like it did a few years ago, but it could be a high-scoring game.
Cecil, I want to ask you about the defense, because after the Ole Miss game, you didn't need a weatherman to know which way the wind was blowing for Pete Golding. All you had to do is turn on radio in Alabama. It seems like that situation has corrected itself. What's happened on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, they've improved. They did have a lot of young players. And, again, they've played teams that have had some offensive issues. So it's you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Did they get better, or did the teams they were playing get worse? But it's, at the same time, they've improved. The secondary's really improved, I think. Jordan Battle has really stepped up. Malachi Moore, who's young, and of course, Sertan's a high first-round draft choice in the secondary. So they're solid there. Still probably don't have the kind of defensive line they had in 2015, 2016. The linebackers are better. Christian Harris, I thought, played really well against Kentucky. Dylan Moses didn't have his best game, but we'll have that opportunity against Auburn. So, again, it's 2020. You're not going to shut out really good teams. You know, they held Kentucky to three, you know, held Mississippi State off the scoreboard, but you're not going to do that to the teams that they basically have left, at least in terms of Auburn, and then wherever they end up in the postseason. Certainly if they play Florida, it'll be a challenge for them. It'll be a challenge. It's so strange, Paul, and you'll understand this, to be talking about the Alabama-Auburn game, and then there are two SEC games after that, at least two. Assuming that they make it to Atlanta, at least two. And if they reschedule the LSU game somewhere, there's three. And normally, you know, when you get to Alabama and Auburn, you're talking about Atlanta, or you're talking about bowl games for the teams and so forth, and that's just not the case this year.
Yeah, Cecil, I mean, obviously, I've seen a few of these games, not as many as you, but when somebody mentioned, I think it was Friday, that Alabama was, they were concerned about Alabama looking ahead to the Iron Bowl, I literally could not believe what I was hearing, because, I mean, we knew this was a strange year. Everything's strange. I mean, how many times do we need to say that? But in this state, as you and I have known for so long, I mean, this was the week of the year. every, you know, you dragged out every player who had ever been in this game. From the punt, Bama punt, to obviously the kick six. But I mean, is it my imagination? And I know what Nick Saban says before the Tennessee game, and I know what he says before this game. And he has not had a great record in this game compared to others where he has not even come close to losing. But what does this game mean right now, especially on the Alabama side?
Well, it's important and it matters, but there's just been so much other distraction and so forth. Last year's game stung Alabama. They didn't play their best game. Auburn played really well, deserved to win, but also had some breaks in that game, I think would be fair to say. But it's a situation where Mac Jones isn't a replacement now. He's the quarterback. And fan-wise, Alabama fans are extremely confident. I think what Auburn's done, though, has been remarkable. Their season was on the brink, I thought, after they lost to South Carolina, after that narrow circumstances against Ole Miss and Arkansas. And Auburn's really turned it around. And now their injury situation, if Bigsby's out and Ham isn't playing for him on the offensive line, that'll make a big difference for him. But I definitely think Auburn has a chance. And I think it's going to be a more competitive game than some people think. For whatever reason, Paul, that the acrimony level is not at it's not at Clemson FSU levels. I'll put it that way.
It just seems like it all died down when I left the state. See, so I don't know. Maybe that's my imagination. I'm on a serious point. I do want to ask you about Mac Jones. A year and 4 weeks ago, we were talking about the greatest quarterback in Alabama history, Tua Tagovailoa. Was he going to win the Heisman Trophy? We all know what happened. And now the idea that Mac Jones, and I don't mean that disrespectfully toward Mac, but it's still hard to get my arms around this, is a legitimate candidate for the Heisman Trophy. I want you to just take us through Mac Jones's run here and how surprising that would be if he ended up completing this journey.
Yeah, if you said that Jalen Hurts, for all his accomplishments, didn't win it, and then Tua, for all his national recognition and all his unbelievable play, circumstances were that he never won it, and then for Mac Jones to win it, that would be pretty amazing. Absolutely. But he's hung in there. He's a guy that came knowing that he wasn't going to be the starter right away. He didn't try to get into the transfer portal. He's grown. He's learned. He's gotten much stronger physically, which he would have to do. And the team really believes he has that personality that the team really rallies around him, which I think when you have as much offensive talent as Alabama has, that's what you're looking for in a quarterback. But, it's been a remarkable season. I don't know, again, you're forcing me to put the cart in front of the horse. If he has a SEC championship game where he is playing against Kyle Trask, that may be the one that all the Heisman voters are watching. But he would help himself by having a good game against Auburn, which will be the national CBS game. He's coming off of an average game against Kentucky, not the numbers that he had been putting up. Didn't play the most of the second half. It was mostly Bryce Young. So he needs to have a good game to stay in that. But it would be, he would be the first Alabama's had running backs win it. They've never had a quarterback win it. And that would be an amazing story.
That's a stunning statement. I know that. But when you think about the quarterbacks in Alabama history, he would be the first quarterback to win the Heisman. You said this is a CBS game. I thought that was San Diego State and Nevada. Did I get that wrong?
I missed that one,
okay.
Paul. I'm sorry. I apologize to CBS crew, but and I'm sorry to mention other networks on your show. But
that's all. We are now to the point.
It will be a national a national game and one that people will be watching, and hopefully everything, you know, stays on course over the holiday and it's played, and we'll see who the better team is, and sometimes it's unexpected, particularly in recent years in this rivalry, but I think I look forward to it. I think it's a really good matchup, and they've been in the Auburn wins, they've probably been really entertaining games. In the Alabama wins, they kind of not, but we'll see how it turns out.
Cecil, let me ask you, because I know my little pocket schedule has changed a few times, and I've got things marked out, and I can't quite figure out week to week what the next game is. But what is the status of the Alabama LSU game?
I think the league office would like to play it. They six-dayed all of next week's television times. I think they want to get through this weekend, sit down on Sunday, see where they are, see if teams, you know, if Alabama wins, and you know, then that would put Auburn out of the mathematical contention in the West. Florida can just about clinch the East. I think that that's going to enter into their thinking. I don't think that they want one team in the championship game playing on the 12th and the other team having a week off. I don't think they want that. It would be possible that Alabama and LSU could play. Possible they could play on the 5th and move the Alabama-Arkansas game back. So there's some options like that, but I think we'll know Sunday because they've got to do the television time.
Yeah, I mean, not to sound like I do work for a television company, but it is good inventory, Cecil, and you just hate to throw that away.
No, there's a reason that they, you know, they've played 49 games, and they would love to get as close to 70 as they could, because they get paid for 70 games. So that's a big factor in it.
Cecil, before you go, I know you spend a lot of time when football ends and even before then covering college basketball. It has been a brutal couple of days for college basketball, and I know that there's a lot of reshuffling because Tennessee, Florida, Ole Miss, Duke, I mean, countless programs. I mean, what is your level of forget concern? That would be an understatement, but I mean, what's going to happen with this college basketball season? If this is any indication.
I don't know what's going to happen any more than anybody does, but let's just take Alabama, for instance, that has a 27-game schedule, count their conference games and non-conference games. And if they play 20 games, I would say that would be a heck of a accomplishment or a heck of a dodging of the bullet. There are going to be cancellations along the way. There are going to be games where three or four starters may be out, and you're still playing with six or seven guys. And so it's going to be really hard to tell. Again, the absolute goal is to have an NCAA tournament, and I think everybody understands why. First of all, it would just be devastating to the sport to not have an NCAA tournament, an NCAA champion for 2 years. And it would be financially – it would be a really difficult financial blow for the SEC, but there are a lot of teams around the country that it would be a second year of that tournament revenue lost would be the difference in them continuing to have a program.
Pretty amazing. Always great to have Cecil Hurd on, the longest running Feinbaum guest. And even after the show is taken off the air, I still hope you'll come back, Cecil.
You know me, Paul. If you're back in the basement studio on the south side, I'll be there.
Well, that's the rumor, at least. Hey, Cecil, always good to talk to you. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Paul. Look forward to it. Talk to you next week.
Cecil Hurd was there the first week of this program, and, yes, he will be there the last week as well. We just hope it's not this week. More to come as we roll on here on a Monday night.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We welcome you back to the program, and a lot of games going by the wayside. As we have seen over the last couple of weeks, it has gotten worse. November has been grim. 15 the previous week, 18 last week. There have been one or two already off the board this week, so it's a little bit impossible to predict where these numbers will go, but certainly as the virus has begun to spread exponentially, it has affected everything in life, including college football, and now it's affecting basketball before the season even begins. Let's get back to the calls. And Doug is in South Carolina. Doug, thanks, and good evening. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, it looks like COVID is taking its toll. I see Dabo's point. I'm a Clemson fan. I see his point. They shouldn't have let us make the trip. But then again, this COVID year, I think the money is the big deal there, and that is a lot of money. $300,000 is a lot of money, but and especially when your revenues are cut this year. The other thing. You still with me, Paul?
Yeah, I agree with you, Doug. I wouldn't play the game unless Florida State paid the expenses down there.
Well, or shared them at least. You know, they should give some compensation, and I kind of blame the league for that. They should have.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the ACC. You're right. The ACC was under a rock hiding. I mean, it was there. They should have gotten in the middle of it.
Yeah, they should have. They should have said, look. You need to split the cost with Clemson. Y'all need to go on home when y'all can schedule this game at a later time. and that would have been that. And another thing, I watched the South Carolina game Saturday night, and it was pitiful. I mean, I know Missouri's not that bad of a team, but they're not that good of a team.
No, they're not.
But South Carolina looks sick.
Well, I didn't. It was just one of those games I didn't really want to watch. I think, you know, South Carolina not only was going through a coaching turmoil, a couple of players left, and in the end, it's going to be difficult for them to finish the season in one piece. Cat Daddy, I missed the game too. So, did you watch it?
Well, yeah, I watched a little bit of it. I tell you what, we got another problem down here. I don't know if you've heard, but some of the former players are upset with some of the fans because they were booing them up there Saturday night and
really?
On social media.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Saying a lot of bad things about the team and everything. So you got the fans.
Well, I mean,
and
you know what, Cat Daddy?
Each other.
That's ridiculous. I mean, if you show up for a game, don't boo your team. I mean, there's always there has to be a distinction. Sometimes fans will boo a coach, which doesn't really bother me, but the coach that they were upset with is gone. So don't boo the players who have tried to do whatever they can to salvage this program.
Well, I don't believe in booing college athletes at any time. Now, if you're in the NBA, the NFL, boo them all day long. They get paid enough. They don't
I agree.
Care.
You're
but
right.
To boo them kids out there is wrong, and I'm going to tell a Carolina fan, y'all need to shut up, get behind the team, and stop this booing and act like a bunch of cry whining babies.
Those are important words. I'm glad you said that. And by the way, I don't know how bad the booing was. Sometimes we can blow something out of proportion, but those guys. It's going to be a rough go the next few weeks, and. They don't need to be booed.
We can make it through it. We got to stick together as a team. And some of the former players were telling the fans, y'all got to back the boys no matter what. Yeah, it's a rough year, but you know what? As a Gamecock fan all my life, I'm used to it.
I bet you are. Hey, thanks for the call. Jim is in Arkansas. Jim, thanks, and go right ahead. Jim, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go right ahead, Jim.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a little interruption there. Well, first of all, thanks for taking my call. But
sure.
The reason I want to call is about the SEC officiating.
Hmm.
And that is, once again, the wrong officiating made the outcome of a ball game in Arkansas.
I've heard that.
And it's not only, you know, it's these officials have got to be accountable for what they're doing with this stuff.
Yeah, I've had a couple of friends of mine. In fact, John Daly, the golfer, hit me up earlier and laid out a scenario that I'm sure you've heard, and he's pretty upset, and I know a lot of people are. I always try to avoid officiating conversations because, I'm a believer that officials do the best they can. They don't care who wins or loses. But I also understand the other side of it. This is now, what, two or three times this year that this has happened. I saw both games, and in the Auburn game, there's not much doubt about that
mm-hmm.
one. This one,
two of the Auburn games.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I'm talking about the Arkansas game in particular. That was a clearer case. The other one was not over yet. But I don't know what you can do because I would say the SEC office puts a high premium on integrity. I don't believe that there's any official in this league that cares who wins or loses.
True. Well, one thing I'd like to throw in there is we're so thankful for Sam Pittman and thank God for sending him to us, and we hope that the state is behind him. As a matter of fact, if anybody probably said anything bad about Sam Pittman in the state of Arkansas, they'd probably get their butt whooped.
You know, Jim, I agree. We talked to Sam the other day, and every time I see him, you just become more enamored with what he stands for. I have no doubt. Whatever the record is at the end of the year, I mean, this week would be nice to win. But regardless of the record, because Alabama is around the corner, he should win the SEC Coach of the Year. He's done that great of a job.
Well, we hope we go to Missouri. We hope to bring back the trophy from there. If we don't have the same officials, we probably have a whole lot better chance.
Well, why don't you just tell, Jim, just do what the most important, just take the officials with you and the suspense. Hey, thanks for the call. We have to break here for a minute. Been a busy one. Lane Kiffin started us off about 3 hours ago. We had Andy Staples and Andrew Adelson. You heard Cecil there, Connor Riley. It's been a busy show, and we still have a little bit of time for you to get in.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Okay, we welcome you back. Remind me to never talk about how well the SEC is doing on a Monday. We have some breaking news coming in, and it is really interesting that this has already happened. But the Arkansas-Missouri game, which is scheduled for this weekend, has been postponed due to positive COVID tests. Now, there is going to be some rescheduling. Vanderbilt and Tennessee were also supposed to meet this weekend, and what we understand now is going to happen will include Vanderbilt will play Missouri on November 28th, leading to the postponement of Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Obviously, there are a couple of other moves ahead here. Figure out what you want with this, but Vandy, Tennessee is off. Arkansas, Missouri is off, but Vanderbilt will now play Missouri. So one would think that Tennessee and Vanderbilt could now play on that open weekend at the end of the year, because Tennessee has already missed a game with Texas A&M, and then they have Florida next week. So a lot of juggling going on already, and it's only Monday at 6:30. We had hoped to avoid this on this week, but apparently we are not able to. I just got through talking about that big game with Arkansas and Missouri, but that game is now off. So we'll update you a little bit more on this when we get some newer information. The story literally just breaking. So let's get back to the calls, and Catfish is up next in Texas. Hey, Catfish, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking the call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
First of all, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Am I correct in thinking that you have an interest in military history?
I am interested in it, yes.
Well, if you happen to come to my hometown, Fredericksburg, it's the home of the National Museum of the Pacific War. I can get you and three of your friends in free because of my membership in the museum, and I'd be happy to take you on a private tour.
I would love that.
But that being said, let's get back to football for a second. Do you see a situation where Texas A&M and Bama might have a rematch in the playoffs? And then the second thing I wanted to get your opinion on was, as I see it, there appears to be, because of all the cancellations, there may be an imbalance in the number of games played. Do you think that's going to affect what they call the body of work in the playoffs, and it would eliminate some teams that might otherwise be considered? So,
yeah, Catfish, well, first of all, thank you for your kind invitation, and I would like to take you up on that when we can get out from under all of this. Let me say that we'll know more tomorrow night when we hear from the chairman of the College Football Playoff Committee. I'm going to offer an opinion that the exact number of games will not be the key. It's I think the quality of opposition that you've played. Back to your question about Texas A&M and Alabama. Texas A&M is in a good spot, and I think it was Andy Staples who said hours ago he thought they might come in at number four tomorrow. But don't read anything into that, because remember, Florida, should it win out and beat Alabama, would get in the playoffs as a one-loss team and as the SEC champion. Now, if Florida were to lose before then, that could be a mitigating factor. of which I haven't quite figured out. But A&M is going to be in a really good spot numbers-wise, but they will need some help to get in the playoffs right now. They're going to need a couple. They're going to need their Florida to if Florida loses to Alabama, then A&M could definitely be in serious contention. Two things that would help A&M to end this long, drawn-out conversation. Notre Dame beating Clemson and Alabama beating Florida, and then A&M would get in should they continue on their current path. Let's continue and talk to James, who is up next. Hey, James, go right ahead. James, you there?
Yes.
Well, good. Glad to have you on.
Yes, sir. It's good to talk to you, Paul.
Well,
I've been listening to you for years. I'm from Alabama, and even when you're just on the radio stations and all. But my question is, well, I want you to know that. And one thing I love about you is, like you say, you went to Tennessee, and you're from out, but you tell the truth. And but I was just wondering who you're picking for to play in the nationalship game, and who do you picking to win?
Yeah, right now I've been on Alabama for quite a while. They're playing better than anyone else that I've seen. The next couple of weeks will dictate. I was really high on Ohio State until Saturday. They made me nervous with that win over Indiana. I need to see more. I need to see the Notre Dame Clemson game before I could give you much of a definitive answer. I haven't forgotten about.
Oh, okay.
Clemson,
yes, but, sir. I understand that about the Notre Dame. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But like I said, bud, I love it the way you say what's on your mind. And them people up New York, they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, thank you. Listen, I grew up being always taught to speak my mind. My mother was like that. I was a newspaper columnist, as you may remember, and that's how I did it. And I, television affects you a little bit because, and I think I have. People want to say mellowed. I think I've matured a little bit. I'm not quite as caustic as I maybe was as a writer, but I appreciate the call. Again, let me try to. We're getting a lot of updates right now. So we believe the Missouri will host Vanderbilt Saturday morning. That's a noon Eastern, 11 o'clock local game. So the Arkansas game is off. I know some of you are obviously very disappointed by that. We were just talking about Barry Odom facing his old team. So Vandy and Missouri, Tennessee, and so that would mean how many weeks in a row? Let's see. We saw Tennessee last week. They missed the A&M game. So that's all we know at the moment. One thing about Monday is a critical day because it's the last game. It's the last game. It's the last time you can reschedule a game. So the slate right now, we have Vandy and Missouri. That's the early game on the SEC network. Kentucky in Florida, Auburn, Alabama, 3:30, Egg Bowl at 4 on the SEC, LSU, A&M, and Georgia and South Carolina. So that is how we stand at the moment. Some breaking news on the schedule. That was something they added into the schedule a couple weeks ago where you could reshuffle. We saw it early in the year. With another Missouri game, they reshuffled. I think Missouri ended up playing Florida, but what this is all portending is this: that December 19th, the same day as the SEC championship game, is going to be a makeup date. Originally, the 12th was put in as a makeup date, and we're pretty close to filling that one up. So now the 19th. You'll see games that weekend. So you start doing the math, and it's not too hard to figure out. We will have a number of games that weekend. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.